Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is you are in the world. I hope you are having the most splendid of days. I am having a splendid week, I think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the positive psychology, but I can't remember a bad thing that happened. I mean, I've learned things, don't get me wrong, but I can't say anything's been bad. But it could help the fact that I spent my weekend in Denmark with two of my best friends, Holly, who is my sister, and my other friend, Rochelle. We decided to go to Copenhagen for, you know, because why not? And yeah, we had a splendid time. I would definitely recommend Copenhagen. I can't speak for the rest of Denmark, but I'm guessing it's just as wonderful. But, you know, we can talk about that on another podcast. But if you see me in person, chat to me about Copenhagen. So, first things first, welcome to episode 11 of my podcast, Condensed. I am Erin, your host, and shout outs, first of all, like I think that is super, super important. First shout out of today's podcast goes to Alex in Canada. She messaged me via my blog and said she took courses on Coursera in graphic design and was so good. She did science and culture of mountains and a science of happiness as well as her graphic design. That was from episode 9, Further Education, that she listened to. And she was like, yo, I've done the Coursera. So on recommendation from Alex in Canada, I think at the moment she's in Edmonton, definitely look up Coursera if you are looking to up the ante on your education. Also, second shout out goes to Amelia in Utah to say she can't wait to have to move into her new home just so she has a longer commute to listen to a full podcast because her current commute is only 5 minutes. So thanks, Amelia, for listening in regularly. It's great to have regular listeners. If you are a regular listener, please do let me know. You can send me a message via Twitter or Instagram. My Twitter and Instagram handles are Erin the Perrin. That's ErinThePerrin. You can also drop me a message via my blog, which is erinthepeerin.wordpress.com. That's erinthepeerin.wordpress.com. Third shout out, I know it's like a record, 3 shout outs in one episode. The third shout out goes to Netflix, because it seems that I put out into the universe the fact that people need to know about decluttering. And what do? They create a Netflix original for the Marie Kondo Japanese art of tidying up, and everyone's loving it. I keep seeing it on people's Facebook. I see it on Twitter. I did start watching it the other day, last night in fact, when I was babysitting my niece. I got through half the first episode and then my niece started crying because she's like 5 months old, so she kind of needs a little bit of attention every now and again. So I didn't watch it all yet, but I will do it. But I like to think it's because we put it out there into the universe on, what was it, episode 4, I think it was, of season 1, about decluttering various different ways, and Netflix clearly heard it. Pretty sure they're not going to give me anything for that. No credit to me, but I will give credit to them. So shout out to Netflix for putting out an episode about decluttering. So, on with the show. Today's episode is, we're still in the personal development season for January. So today's episode is all about coaching. Now, a lot of you are wondering, like, oh, what do you mean coaching? What good is that for my personal development? And really, if you just look at the word coaching itself and what it actually means, it's a process that aims to improve performance and focuses on the here and now rather than the past. By focusing on the here and now, a bit like the positive psychology that we discussed last week, it means that that can influence our future, but without having to think too much about our future and maybe worry about our future. I think that's what it is. It's less worrying about the future, focusing on the here and now. And when you've got a coach, the coach is there to help the individual to improve their own performance. But it's not telling them what to do. or not always the case of telling them what to do. It's a case of helping them learn what to do. So it's not a, this is my problem, tell me what to do. It's, this is my problem, tell me how I can learn from what I've done or what I'm doing at the moment to make sure that I get the result that I'm looking for. So the best thing I can describe, so I just, here you go, a little bit of information about myself. I'm actually a qualified fitness coach, well, technically a personal instructor as well. But my job wasn't, you know, when someone comes into the gym and says, you know, I want to do a half marathon. Can you please train me so that I can do a half marathon? Yes, it's very easy for me to stand there and tell people exactly what it is that they need to do. But at the same time, it was for me personally, or at least I think with a good coach, is that it's someone to not only inspire you into what it is that you need to do, but also to educate you as well. So I wouldn't just tell someone to come into the gym and be like, okay, you need to see me at least 3 times a week. And when that person comes in, I've got my gym plan for them. And I'm like, right, okay, you know, we're training for a half marathon. Today, we're just going to do legs. And then the next session, they come in and I'm like, okay, we're going to do back. And then the next time they come in, we're going to do chest. And then I tell them that they've got to do their runs in between. Also, if you're looking for a personal trainer or a fitness coach, don't go for someone that's going to watch you be on a treadmill for an hour or any kind of cardio kit. That is not what you're paying for. But anyway, that's a separate issue. Back to the current one. So, you know, it's not just standing there and telling them what to do. It's, okay, the reason why we're going to train legs, or we're going to train legs at least once a week, the reason why we're going to do that is because obviously you rely upon them heavily when you're doing a half marathon, because it involves a lot of running. And the reason why we're doing back is because you may want good, strong back muscles, particularly lower back muscles, so you can prevent injury, and we can keep you physically fit. And chest and abs, obviously abs are a big part of running as well. We want to make sure that you've got strong obliques so you can get good running technique and things like that. So we explain to them and then say, you know, okay, let's talk about your nutrition. Let's talk about how much water you're drinking. Let's talk about what your actual capabilities are. Have you ever run a half marathon before? It's talking and educating them in that kind of sense. So when we talk about coaching, that's what we're doing. We're not telling people, we're helping people learn. I'm not any other kind of coach, by the way, just so you know. I'm not selling myself as that, although it's not to say I never will be. I totally could be. But for the moment, I'm quite happy with just a fitness coach and personal trainer. So why do you need coaching? So coaching, or speaking to a coach, and we'll come to the various different types of coaches you can have later on. But why do you need one? They're a great opportunity to reevaluate your position in life, to help you kind of focus on the present. Like I said earlier, it's the here and now. They can help you focus on what is actually important to you. Are you focusing on the fluff of life with distractions rather than actually focusing on what the situations actually are happening in your life and what is it you're doing about them? I find as well that coaching, when I've done various different types of coaching, because it's not just speaking to a person, but when I've done various different types of coaching, they've asked me questions that I wasn't brave enough or knew enough to ask myself. And so therefore it was kind of like the blind leading the blind, really, when you're just doing it by yourself. Whereas when you go to a coach, they can ask you the questions that you may not be aware that you needed to have asked. You know, they can give you a look from a different perspective. They're not there to tell you what to do. They're there purely to tell you, or help you find out what it is that you should be asking yourself. And kind of almost like they give you homework, that you get to discover something about yourself, or you know, or something like that, so that you can actually work through it. And usually that's where you find you learn the best lessons, is when you work through it yourself. So what kind of coaches are there? Well, you've got the obvious, like I mentioned, fitness coaches. You've got sports coaches, you know, for like athletes and, you know, all those kinds of things. You've also got life coaches, which is a big one right now. I think that's, you know, a bit of a one of those phrases that everyone seems to be throwing about. Either you go to a life coach, you have a life coach, or you are a life coach. Definitely big in America. No, I don't think it's as big in the UK. I don't know. Have you been to a life coach? If you have, pop me a message. Like I said, you can contact me at Twitter, Instagram, or on my blog. And I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of either, that you go to someone to ask them for their help and their guidance. So it would be great to know. And that's not me being nosy. That's a genuine, do people in the UK use life coaches? You know, you've got financial coaches. You've got business coaches. You've got vocal and acting coaches. I think there's pretty much a coach for everybody. And I think the only one in the UK that most people use is a fitness coach, which is a shame because there are so many other people that can assist you in things. And I usually find that if you use one coach, it usually helps you in different areas. Not all areas. So for example, if you were seeking the, you know, attending sessions with a life coach, that they can actually help find out what it is that you, what is most important to you. And if it is that you're just looking to create positive changes in your life, and not just changes, but also habits, that it might be that that actually rolls into using the services of another coach, such as a fitness coach, because maybe the way that you feel or look about your physical being is important to you. And that's not a bad thing, that you want to take pride in yourself, or you've got, you know, I spent 9 years in the fitness industry, and yes, the majority of people come in because they want to lose weight. They want to change their body shape. But people would also come in because they wanted just to feel better about themselves and feel like that they weren't out of breath every time they ran for a bus, or that, you know, they had wanted to put a positive change in their life to replace a negative habit in their life. For example, they wanted to quit smoking. So they're like, right, if I want to quit smoking, then I need to find something else to keep me busy. Gym's great at keeping you busy because, you know, obviously not as intermittently as smoking is, but, you know, it gives you something to focus on and think, right, okay, I want to get through my body pump class tonight, or I want to get through a spin class without coughing up my guts at the end of the night. You know, so there's lots of different types of coaches. I mean, that's just a handful of coaches. So now you know what kind of coaches we've got. I'm going to give you my recommendations. So this is where I'm going to save you all the time by suggesting places that you can find a coach. So first one, as you're listening to a podcast, I'm guessing that means you're a podcast listener. Listener. Yes, whichever way you like to listen to podcasts. And so there are two podcasts that I will definitely suggest to you. The first one is Brooke Castillo. That's BROKE and then Castillo, CASTILLO. She is a life coach. I've been listening to her for quite a few episodes now. I'd probably say we must have been to about 80, 90 episodes. And she just picks like random subjects each week. And I remember the first episode that I listened to was about drama and how, as human beings and particularly adults, that we seek after drama. She didn't think she was someone who liked drama, but when it came up, she was like, right, where's my popcorn? Let me have a look. You know, or she would slightly exaggerate something because it made it sound a bit better, where her husband is completely like zero drama, like absolutely zero drama. And, you know, but she asks these questions that you know, and they make you think. And that's, to me, what a coach should be doing. They should be making you think. And she's very good at doing that. She asks questions. She gives real life scenarios. She talks about her life in the past and how, you know, she's very honest about it. She used to be quite a heavy drinker, and she decided one day that this needed to change, and so she talks about that. Another podcast I would recommend is one called Being Boss, and that is two women who in the southern states of America. They don't actually live in the same state, so they kind of do their podcasting. They kind of podcast together, but in separate places. And they are two independent business owners, so small business owners. One of them is a brand management company, and the other is a web design company. And they talk about all the things that they've come across as they have set up their own businesses, problems that they have, feelings that they have, and they talk about them with each other, and they'll get special guests on, they'll get other coaches on, so they will have business coaches, and they can discuss what it's like being that, you know, small business owner starting from the ground up with your own money, investing, and mistakes that they made and positive things that they did. And, you know, I kind of feel it's one of those that you can definitely learn from. Moving into books, I only picked three books, and three of them very, very different. So the first one that I've read two of these books. The third, it's a challenge, but you'll understand why when I start talking about it. So the first book that I've read that I would definitely recommend for your personal development and coaching is called Adulting: How to Become a Grown-Up in 468 Easy-ish Steps by Kelly Williams Brown. And basically, it's the lessons that we need to learn. Now, most of these things, they're common sense. And by the time you've reached a certain age, you would normally go, yeah, okay, I totally get it. But they do provide very good lessons that you're thinking, yeah, I wish I had known that younger. So if you are one of my younger listeners, and when I say younger listeners, I mean anybody who's kind of like 18 to about, you know, 25, 26, I would definitely recommend that you do read this book. Because it's things like, you know, when you move into your first house, maybe you've got housemates, maybe you're living by yourself, but there are things that you need to do. Like, you know, if you lived with housemates, don't leave passive aggressive post-it notes. If there's a situation with something, address it with your housemates straight away. It may be, what we're looking at here, develop your own opinions. That was step number 91. Of being an adult. You know, spend 10 minutes a day gathering news at least. And she says that one lovely habit to get into is putting on either NPR or C-SPAN while you get ready. Why just straighten your hair when you can straighten your hair and quietly absorb the facts that there is unrest in Libya? So that, you know, it's things like that, which I've actually now just started to do in my 30s. I think we all love the fact that we want to be better educated in public affairs, but finding it, you know, I found it very difficult. So I've actually started listening to the radio on my commute into work, so I don't get the full details of things, but I do understand what's happening, particularly at the moment. Obviously, the big thing that's happening right now in the world is Brexit. So, you know, I'm understanding a little bit more about Brexit, and I can form my own opinions on things like that. She also talks about things like how to be poor. So it's managing your money. Get good at shopping for clothes on the cheap. And she tells you different things that you can do. It's cars with gas, insurance, maintenance, and whatever it costs you in the first place. You throw something like 15% of your income at the thing. So discover in your heart a deep love for the mass of metal, plastic, and gears. Name it, perhaps after yourself. Cherish it. Adopt a protective, benevolent attitude toward it. You and this car are on the same team. You know, and it's things like that. I mean, I named my first car. She was called Coco. She was a VW Polo. I absolutely loved her. And I think, you know, when you name something, it becomes yours. So you look after it a little bit better. I think, in fact, I'm pretty sure for the first 6 months, this is how extreme I was. I filled my water bottle for my car only with Evian water. I would not fill it with water from the tap. I only wanted the very best for my Coco. because she was a little black number, and that's why we named her Coco Chanel. But I'm pretty sure I didn't need to do that, but in my head I needed to. She talks about how to be in relationships with people, but they are literally very, very short steps, all 468-ish of them. So adulting, how to become a grown-up in 468 easy-ish steps by Kelly Williams Brown. Definitely worth a look up. Available from all high street retailers as well as Amazon. Second book that I want to talk about is, it's an author, Linda Field. She is the author of the best-selling 60 Ways to Feel Amazing. But the books that I want to talk about, is two very similar titles. One is called Weekend Life Coach, and the other is Weekend Love Coach. And it's how to get the love or life you want in 48 hours. So a lot of people get confused by this one. I read the Weekend Love Coach one. And I actually, before I even started reading the book, I had actually set aside an entire weekend. I forget when it was. I think it was like September or October. And I turned my phone off on Friday night when I finished work about... I made sure I was home from work. You know, so it was probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock. Turned it off. Like, not even on silent or do not disturb. Turned it off. And I didn't turn it back on again until Sunday evening when I had to set my alarm to make sure that I'd be up for work the next day. And what I did is I actually spent the entire weekend reading this book. And it's not a very big book. It's what, 270-ish pages. I like that word today, ish. About 270-ish pages. And it was great because, like I said earlier about a coach, is that she gave you lots of questions. And what she actually recommends is that you do give yourself completely uninterrupted time to read the book, to get a notepad and a pen, which I did. Obviously, I'm a stationery addict, so I've got like 23 to choose from. So I picked a nice sparkly one. And it enabled me to write down the answers, that, and they weren't sort of like, sometimes they're one word answers, sometimes, you know, they're, you know, I have to sit and think about it. And I would spend 5 or 6, you know, 5 or 10 minutes asking myself questions to set yourself a goal and what I'm looking for in love. And this is not just for single people, this book. This book is for people who are currently in relationships, and it's reevaluating the relationship that you're in and whether it is actually good for you. She asks you to pick a personal mantra for the weekend so that every time you have a moment to yourself, maybe it's while you're cooking dinner or whatever, you know, it was that you could repeat that mantra to yourself. Or various points in the book, she would ask you about your mantra, and you're like, wow, is the relationship that I'm looking for, the relationship that I'm in, part of this mantra? It gave me things that I could do to help improve myself. It was asking me what I wanted in something, and what I thought was like, you know, oh, well, I've probably got about 4 or 5 things that I want in a potential significant other, turned into, how many have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Yeah, oh gosh. That makes me sound very demanding. But yeah, I mean, there's just 25 things that I've put on my list of what do I want from a significant other. And okay, I'm not going to get someone that ticks every single box. But, you know, if they've got enough of those things, then I'm like, well, great, then this is a healthy relationship. This is what I'm looking for. But then at the same time, I sit there and say to myself, well, are you all of those things? It's all very, very well saying that you want somebody with all of that, but you also need to be developing those things. So it was a great thing for me to reflect upon myself for, and not just the other person. So Yes, Weekend Love Coach. I haven't read her Weekend Life Coach because I'm not going to lie. I looked up how much that one was, and on Amazon it was very, very expensive because it's quite an old book. And I think it was something stupid, like about £40 for the paperback version. So I'm like, oh, I might not do that. So I think I'm definitely going to have to go into my local bookstore and locate a copy. And again, it's, you know, I'm going to be paying full price for it, which if it's anything like Weekend Love Coach, you know, it's going to be between £8 and £12. So, yeah, that's one that I'm going to definitely have to set aside another weekend because I don't want to be disrupted when I'm reading that book. I want to be completely focused. So yes, Weekend Love or Life Coach by Linda Field. That's Linda with a Y. Definitely worth a read. Made me stop and think, but make sure with something like that that you do give it your undivided attention. This is not the kind of book that you can just pick up and, you know, leave it for a couple of weeks and then decide whether you want to get back on it at all. My third book that I would recommend is probably more of a workplace book. It's called First Things First by Stephen R. Covey. You should know Stephen R. Covey because he was the author of the very famous The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I've got to be honest, I struggle to read a lot of Stephen R. Covey. I started reading 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I think I've made it through the first chapter, maybe, which isn't, I can't even say it's the first habit. And it's one, again, where you have to sit down. Maybe that's the mistake I've been making. I learned all about paradigm shifts. I learned about time management matrixes, which have been great because obviously they have helped me in a lot of different things at work, at home, to help me prioritize my time a little bit better. But they are, yeah, they're very wordy. So I do struggle with them, which is why I guess I like the other two, because they're written in normal English. Rather than, difficult sentences and, you know, things like the process of putting first things first, you know, and little anecdotes he puts in there and quadrants and all of those kinds of things. It's definitely one that you have to plug away at. So if you do want to do that one, I mean, I'm not saying don't do it. I think they are very good. I'm just saying I personally have to keep going through them. And one of my friends, Kerry, she said she read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and she struggled with it. But rather than go for the 7 habits, go for First Things First. See how you get on with that one. It's a little bit thinner and there's very few things you've got to work to. You haven't got to work to 3-7 things. You've just got to get the basics in order. And I think once you've got the basics in order from Stephen R. Covey, then I think the 7 habits might be a little bit easier for me to understand, comprehend, and actually action. Because let's be honest, I'm all about that action and I want to get going. So, yeah. 7 Habits by Stephen R. Covey is a bit of a tough one. So start with First Things First. And hopefully you will be able to make better progress than I did. So there you go. They're the books. 3 books. Adulting, 468 Easiest Steps to Becoming an Adult. Weekend Love or Life Coach by Linda Field. And also 7 Habits or First Things First with Stephen R. Covey. If you are more of a visual person and you're looking for YouTube, one YouTube, which I was introduced to by a friend, Cammy, she had started listening to The Financial Diet, and it's a YouTuber, a girl called Chelsea, and she basically tells you things that you probably already know, but also things that are super useful, things that no one ever told you before. You're like, why did nobody ever tell me that bit about getting credit cards? You know, what their uses are actually, how to stop using them, but make sure you keep them so you can improve your credit history. She talks about side hustles and how, where to find them, what you can do. Basically anything to make sure that you can not frivolously spend money. But if you do want to spend money frivolously, how is best you do it. So the financial diet is a good financial development coach, I think is what you can call it. And then she also mentions another one, which I've watched a couple, called The Broke Millennial, which I think is very apt because I don't know a single millennial that has got oodles of money unless they had a startup and made lots of money off of that. But the rest of us that are just, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, 30 people, we're still struggling. You know, broke millennial, we're all broke. We're all millennials at the moment. So what's the best way to get through it? Listen to a YouTuber. So yes, both very good. If you're looking to meet a coach in person, like I said, you have got fitness coaches, which are usually available at your local gym. If you are registered at a health club or a gym, make use of the people that are there. Speaking as a person who it was a fitness instructor full-time, I used to love it when people used to come up and ask me for help or ask my opinion or be like, Erin, how can I, you know, eat better? What recipes have you got? I used to love that. I think about my work colleagues that we had. None of us liked doing nothing. We all actually really loved helping people. So if you are a member of a gym or a health club, go up and speak to the fitness consultants. They will be more than happy to answer your questions and help you and get you through a workout or, you know, refer you to a personal trainer if that's something that appeals to you more. They're everywhere and we're all itching to help people. So that's your fitness coaches. If you're looking for a life coach, you can go to life-coach-directory.org.uk where you can find lots of let me get that web address right. It's life-coach-directory.org.uk and you can look up life coaches around the United Kingdom. You just put your postcode in and it will tell you who your closest ones are. It will tell you what qualifications they have, what previous experience. They get to write a little blurb, what it is that they enjoy doing, their training, the qualifications and their experience. And it'll also give you most of them will give you a cost, their fees. And she says that, well, the one girl that I'm looking at, she says she does one session for £40, four sessions for £150, six for £210. All sessions are 60 minutes in duration and are by telephone or Skype. If you want face-to-face within the West Midlands, it will incur an additional fee. But then I saw another guy and he was charging £90 for a weekday session, which was an hour. If you wanted a session on the weekend, it was £145. So, you know, they can vary from all sorts of costs. Maybe you want to try it on the telephone or Skype first. Maybe just to have someone just to talk to and go, look, I've got no direction in my life at the moment. I don't feel like my life's going anywhere. I don't even know where to start. And these people are qualified to ask the right questions to help you get thinking about where it is that you want to be. If you are not listening to us from the UK, I know I do have quite a few listeners in the North American continent, you can go to nlp-practitioners.com and they will then list they're your neuro-linguistic programmers, not necessarily life coaches, but it's something similar. There is a fine line as to the differences between the two. I'm sure somebody who is NLP or a life coach will probably go, no, we're very different. But they're somewhat similar in the fact that they will help guide you to where it is that you want to be by asking the right questions for it. So that's nlp-practitioners.com. And you can find someone, you can just put in the city that you live in or the county that you live in or the country, and it will tell you where your local coaches are that can help you. So there we go, coaching. Some of you may think this is for me. I definitely want to look into this. I want to grab one of your books. I want to listen to that YouTube, or I want to listen to one of those podcasts. Some of you might go, yeah, not for me. I'm quite happy doing things the way that I'm doing them. And if, do you know what? And do you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So carry on doing whatever it is that you do, but have a great week. And don't forget to share this podcast on your social media. I have absolutely no problems in people sharing this on their Facebook, their Twitter. You can do it on Instagram as well. And just to remind you that this podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Anchor, Stitcher, and your show notes for each podcast episode is available at erintheperrin.wordpress.com. Let me know how you get on with your coaching experiences, whether it's actually you've inspired me to become a coach, you've inspired me to look up coaching or read a book or whatever it is that you want to do. Like, please do let me know. It's absolutely wonderful to hear what everybody thinks about the podcast or what you enjoyed the most. Or maybe it's just like, Erin, actually, I really enjoyed your podcast on the Happiness Advantage. And every night before I go to bed, I've actually been, you know, writing down three things that I'm grateful for, and I'm finding I'm less angry, or that I realize I have so much more than three things that I'm grateful for every single day. It's not just one thing. So hit me up. Love hearing from you. And like I said, have a great week, and I'll speak to you later. Bye.